God saves us not by withholding, but by giving. And we, as people of faith in Him, are to be characterized by receiving and also then giving in kind. In our scriptures today, in our lessons, we read in Peter's epistle that the Christian community is to be encouraged and grounded in the gospel and the resurrection, so that when difficult times come, that they are able to suffer rightly for doing what is right, and to be able to give a witness, a message for the joy that they have at any time. Jesus speaks to his disciples in our gospel reading, reminding them about what God is about to do for them, to give to them of himself, specifically in the Holy Spirit. Even in our psalm today, the psalmist reminds us that even in the midst of tribulation, that we are to give thanks to God for what? What is the very last sentence of the psalm that we read? God has heard my prayer and not withheld his love from me. So I want to talk a little bit about what it means to understand God in terms of giving and what it means to be a people who are marked by receiving and then also giving. So what I'd like to do is say a little bit about, first, this understanding of God that we have, where we try to think of him as being stingy. You've heard of a phrase, a saying, that says, "'Tis better to ask forgiveness than ask for permission." Or, "It's better to beg for forgiveness than to ask permission." You heard of that before. Why is there some truth to that? Right? Because maybe because we think we know better. Right? We think that we know what's best, and so if something's in the way of that, well, just, I need to go and get it and do it. And if there's consequences, I'll deal with that later. This is how we're hardwired as children, incidentally. Right? I want that cookie. I know I'm not supposed to get into the cookie jar without asking. But I really want it. And nobody's looking. So I'm going to go get that cookie. And next thing you know, get your hand out of that cookie jar. Oh, I'm so sorry. Right? 'Tis better to beg forgiveness than ask permission. So there's a sense where we're conditioned in our nature. This is part of who we are. We're programmed to do this. But there's even more culturally speaking, like in our modern American Western culture, we're taught to go and get it. Just do it. If you see something, your dream is out there, go and get it. Don't ask anybody permission, just go and do it. Because at the back of all of this is a fear that if we go to the trouble of asking, the answer might be no. And we can't handle no, culturally or in our nature. And so we just take. And so it becomes very easy for us to transfer all of this to God, and to think of God as being stingy, as the God who withholds because he doesn't give me what I want, when I want. And that may sound like a caricature, and you're like, I don't really think of God that way, but I think if you think about it, there are always times in our lives where we're confronted, or at least tempted to think of God as being stingy. Not giving us what we want, when we want. But the gospel tells us that God is not the God who withholds. God is the God who gives, and gives richly. But here's the catch. God gives on his terms, not ours. God gives richly, but he gives the things that he wants us to have, not what we necessarily want. In fact, there's a caveat I need to share with you, is that the surest way to create a monster is to give somebody exactly what they want when they want it. Like, think about that. If you've got a child, every time they want something and demand something, you give it to them right there, no matter what, for their whole life. Will that, over time, create in them, create a person who is kind and generous and loving and humble? Or will it create a monster? And the reality is it will create a monster every time, 10 times out of 10. So if we are to understand rightly God as the God who gives, not the God who withholds, but the God who gives, it is the God who gives as he sees fit and on his terms, not simply ours. And that if we don't get what we want from God, it is not right in the gospel of us to turn that around and say that God is stingy. And to grumble. If you've been reading along in Exodus, you know from the scriptures and the story of Israel that this is a key marker of the people of God. That wrestling with God, giving and not giving. And one of the things that God wants to give us, he says, you know, we want our 401k, we want to make it to work on time, and we want to have, you know, good deals and sales, and we want to have coupons and savings, and we want to have technology that works all the time. And God says, I want you to be forgiven. I want you to be righteous when you stand in front of me on that final day. I want you to be raised up on the last day. I want you to have a part of my kingdom and a share of the bounty that I have. These are the things that God wants for us. And he gives them. That's the reason. And so what is it specifically that we're told that God does give us? In reality, the thing that God gives us the most is himself. That's the great, rich, and deep truth. It's not that God creates something good over here and then gives it to us, although he does. But in the end, the gospel tells us that the thing that God gives most richly to his people is himself. Peter reminds the church, he says that God gave his son up for sin once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous. Theological term we call that the substitutionary atonement. Once and for all. Not that God created this thing over here, that this mechanism that then creatively, you know, like removed sin from the world, like a cosmic oxyclean. God didn't create a cosmic oxyclean. That would have been that he could have given us that. He didn't. Instead, he gave himself to bleed and to die to remove sin. What else does God give? In our gospel lesson, Jesus says God will give himself yet again as God the Holy Spirit, who will never leave. He will dwell richly within you. God doesn't create cosmic energy over here that good vibes make. And in Christ, you get beamed in the good vibes. Groovy. Now, there are versions of Christianity that try to teach you that, but that's actually not what God doesn't give us. You know, the Beach Boys. That's not the Holy Spirit. God gives himself so that he himself and the Holy Spirit will dwell within us for eternity. Right? And then that giving is on his terms. Sacrificial. You know, have you ever read the book The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein? I kind of have this love-hate relationship. Growing up, again, I always hated it because I hated the kid. Like, he just wanted this man. Because he's so selfish. And the tree. Yeah, you know, like this poor tree. At the end of the story, the tree's a stump. And even as a stump, he gives himself to this. But you see, the point of the story is that the tree doesn't create a house for the kid. He gets chopped up into planks to make the house. The tree gives of itself. is trying to tell us is that this is how God gives to us of himself. Because if you miss it, you get caught up in the stuff and the things of life. Why hasn't God given me this stuff or this thing? And you forget what he has really given you is himself. So we, therefore, are to be people who, first and foremost, receive from God. May it be said of me that I am nothing more than a sinner to whom God has shown mercy. That we are people who are marked, first and foremost, as being recipients of God himself, of God's good blessings. And in fact, this is what we mark and celebrate every Sunday in church. How much of our liturgy and language that we use is about receiving from God the things that he's given us. When we come together, you hear God's word, and then you have it preached to you, the word is being given to you. And then you come forward and you receive from God bread and wine, the giving of Christ himself. And incidentally, you don't have to pay me before I put the bread in your hand. But this is not an even exchange here. And God doesn't say, pay me first and then I'll give you myself. He gives himself graciously to sinners. So we receive from God through word and sacrament, his grace and his truth. We can read God. Yes, we can read our Bible anytime. In fact, you should. And we do take communion to those who cannot be here on Sundays. And if you ever need that, please call. It helps to call, because if I don't know you need communion, then I can't bring it to you. Or one of our interested visitors can bring it to you. But there's something about coming together as the people of God to receive from him. Do you ever think about coming to church to receive? Which I realize is kind of a dangerous thing in our day and age because we're giving stuff all the time. I take my kids to swimming lessons and we can't walk 5 feet without somebody trying to give my kids some knickknack, some free prize because they, you walk in the door, yeah, here's your prize. So the world becomes about, everybody gives me stuff. You sign up for a phone contract, you get a free phone. You sign up for this, you get a free this. I'm like, people want to give you stuff all the time. But that's not the gospel. Right, if the CEO of Verizon said, I'm going to lay down my life for you so you can have a phone, that's different. I'm not knocking Verizon. I'm just trying to see the point. But there's an insidiousness about all this free giving in our culture that we see every day that blinds us, conditions us to not see what God will always give. And so the last thing, we are also people who not only receive from God, but who then give sacrificially ourselves. From whom have received much, much will be required, Jesus says. It's also incidentally that Jesus taught in the New Testament, you do not have because you do not ask. Seek and you will find. Right? The scriptures is always about this giving and receiving, and giving and receiving. And that we are called to give to the world in measure as we have received. And what is it that we are to give? Well, Peter says that one of the things that we're to give is a reason for the joy that we share. We're to proclaim the good news. We're to testify to the power and the giving nature of God in season and out. And part of what we need to receive from God is a knowledge and an understanding of who he is and what he's done for us. So that when the time comes and somebody says, well, you're a Christian. You go to church, right? Well, tell me about that. Like it's good and stuff. Right? If that's the extent of what you've been able to give, then you haven't received much. And so we give a word of the power of God in season and out. Are we prepared to do that as people of God? Because sometimes the world doesn't want to hear that. Sometimes when we give, it has to be sacrificial. Sometimes the world doesn't want to hear about Jesus. Sometimes the world doesn't want to hear about God giving of himself on his terms. You know, everybody wants to hear about God who gives. Like, yeah, give me more stuff, right? It's the cosmic feeder bar. And God doesn't want that. And when people discover that God doesn't want it that way, they get mad at him. And sometimes they get mad at his people too. Guilt by association. So being a witness for Christ will always cost us something in this world. Because giving is costly. Not just in the checkbook sense, but of ourselves. Because God has given to us. I want to end with our collect for today. Our collect for today. I'm sure you all memorized it at the Cal, read it. And if you did, it's okay. What was it that we asked of God? Well, first we recognize that God is the God who has prepared unimaginable blessings and good things for his people. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor mind perceived the wonders, the riches that God has in store for those who love him. That's what the New Testament tells us. It's to that God we pray. We ask him, Lord, pour into our hearts what? Love. Pour into our hearts such a love. Such a love of you. Why? Because it's not there on its own. God has to give us something. He gives us his own love. Pours it into us. Why? So that we may press on. We may take hold of the assurance of our faith and the good things that he has for us. So we pray, we ask the God who gives so richly, not the God who gives, but the God who gives of himself, of his love, of his grace, so that we might be able to receive gladly from God and are able to sacrificially give as we have been given.